you know, when I toured with Mayhem, it was a lot of like, I don't think they knew what to fucking do with it. There was a little bit of like backlash, I guess, from some of the fans. Yeah. But by the end of every set, I think I kind of had them turned around. The metal tours are always like a challenge, but in a good way.
Today we're joined with the one and only James Lawler of Ghost. Such an incredible act who combines dark synthwave with extreme metal. We talk about his experience bringing it to life, being able to cross multiple genres, making music for video games and films, and that absolute special feeling when you just let go and are able to connect with an audience. Also has a brand new album titled Prophecy, which you can listen to right now. And even prior to this interview, I got a little pre-release. And to be totally honest, I couldn't stop listening to it. It was on a consistent rotation as I was doing things around the house or working on some edits. And yeah, it's just an absolute vibe. And we jump right into this interview right after I told him what I told you right now. Again, couldn't stop listening to Prophecy. Go check it out. But right now, let's jump into the mind and soul of James Lawler of Ghost.
What would you say, like, kind of inspired you to combine, like, both worlds and genres like that into this melding pot?
I don't know, man. With Ghost, I guess I've just kind of, like, I'm, like, going into other genres to try and, like, find new pathways for my music because, you know, like, the synthwave that, I guess we're like me and some of the other guys, the other darker guys are branded under is like kind of overdone. And I was getting sick of doing it the same way. You know what I mean? So I'm just pulling in genres from like my childhood that I really liked. And it's just kind of happening naturally.
Yeah, that's awesome. And like, obviously like very 80s influence. I see in the background, you have a Halloween poster as well. And yeah, it's fucking awesome. And even, I feel like just listening to the album too, there's a certain flow to it where it kind of felt like it takes me on a bit of a ride where it kind of just ramps up and then keeps ramping up and getting a little more and more intense. And was that like kind of like an intentional thing to just kind of like drive it that way?
No, but I mean, I write my albums pretty much from start to finish. So I definitely like listen to what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So I try to find like a way that the songs flow that keeps things interesting at least.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. And I kind of like I mentioned, I'm new to your music and I kind of went back in the catalog and I noticed like the previous one was like still had that aggression, but it was like a little like had more singing and stuff like that. And was there like any certain inspiration going into this one or certain things in your life that made you want to make it like extra heavy and everything?
I mean, the world sucks right now. So
yeah,
plenty to be pissed about. But no, man, honestly, the last two albums, I experimented a whole shitload. And there's a lot of people that have been listening to my music for years that were not completely on board with it. So I kind of like paid attention to what people were saying and kind of, you know, delved back into some older kind of sounds and stuff like that and combined it with everything else I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Cool, cool. And would you say when you get into like these heavy, like crazy, like grooves and stuff, is there like a certain like cathartic feeling when you're creating it or making it in the studio?
Yeah, man. It's almost like as you were explaining, like finding a new band or a new genre or whatever, like, that's the best part of being a musician, I suppose, is when you write like a good riff or something, it's like a whole thing. You know what I mean? Like you're vibing. So yeah, it's cathartic as fuck, dude. It's like what keeps me sane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, I guess like I've always been like heavy into like metal stuff. And I guess over like the last 10 years, I kind of got into like synthwave actually through video games and specifically the Hotline Miami games. And I always loved like the moments where like a lot of those artists would just go like just deep and heavy. And I feel like your music is kind of giving me the best parts of what I want out of that genre, which is like really fucking cool.
Right on, man. That's cool. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the guys off Hotline Miami are friends of mine, and we all kind of started doing this together. So that makes sense that it kind of intertwines and lines up.
Yeah. And I was even going to mention, too, it's cool that you can like tour with artists like that and also tour with people like on the black metal side or death metal side, too. And when you're playing these tunes live, do you notice different reactions from the crowd depending on which audience you're in front of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I toured with Mayhem, it was a lot of like, I don't think they knew what to fucking do with it. There was a little bit of like backlash, I guess, from some of the fans. Yeah. But by the end of every set, I think I kind of had them turned around. The metal tours are always like a challenge, but in a good way. You know, I have to win over this band's crowd every night. And a lot of times, you know, if you go see a band that you really like, you're not even checking out who the support is until you're there. So I kind of like it because it keeps it interesting. And then as far as like doing like synthwave type tours, I mean, that's just easy. You know, people are there to see that. So it's both has its advantages, but the metal tours are like, kind of keep me hungry because they're never like really buying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can imagine like sometimes you look out and there's guys in the back with their arms crossed, like, I don't know, but I'm sure also at the same time, there's other people who are receptive and like being like, I wasn't expecting this tonight type of thing. And maybe you made a ton of new fans. And do you ever get people approach you after and just being like, hey, like, this is all new to me and I fucking love it type of thing?
Yeah. Definitely 100%, dude. Especially on the last couple tours, the Mayhem. Well, that was forever ago. The Catatonia tour. Yeah, there's people that like reach out after the tour, even, and you know, tell me that they enjoyed it and they didn't expect it. That kind of thing.
Awesome. And me personally, I haven't seen you play live, but I've seen some cool photos. You wearing the skull mask. I see you got like a guitar player and like. Can you tell me like a little bit like how you present the music live, like and like what you use to create it?
Well, right now, or what I'm going to be using this year is I'm using like a Roland SP-404 sampler for like the main backing track unit, and then I have what did I get? The Dreadbox Nymphis is what I'm using for the synth, and then I have like a whole rack of, you know, like PA gear that I run through before it goes to the house and everything. So, I mean, I used a computer, but using the sampler, I'm able to like chop tracks up a little bit more. And it's definitely like more of a live experience because I'm busy during this set I'm planning. I'm very busy the whole time. So,
yeah, that's cool too. And I got a friend too. I forget the name of the instrument, but he like hits like the pads and stuff. And he's like, I could play like one whole track, but he's like, that's so like uninteresting for the audience. So he kind of like does it like makes it complicated and like each button a noise type of thing. And it looks like he's like fucking live drumming. Would you say you do something more like that style or?
I'm more like, you know, I strip down parts of the songs that like that I'm going to be playing live. So if there's like a lead part that's not in there, and then there's a lot of weird timings in my tracks because I don't really think about transitioning to live while I'm doing it. So sometimes it's not like a 4 count or even a 6 count. It's like a fucking 13 and a half count or something weird that I did. And so, you know, the guy that plays live with me needs cues and things like that. So I'll chop things up to where I can bring them in with cymbals and things like that.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's cool to hear that it's just like two of you two because it's such a big fucking sound as well. I'm sure if somebody just listened to the album out of context and be like, oh yeah, there's like eight people in this band, you know? So yeah. I always like think that's pretty awesome. And I'm sure that's great. Like if you're just touring around too, it's a little like beyond like all the gear, it's like a little simpler to like manage, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely easier. I mean, we can get pretty decent hotels because there's not eight of us, you know what I mean? So that part's definitely easier.
Yeah, awesome. And even like seeing the pictures of you live too, I've seen like photos of you with like the skull mask. Is there like any type of like symbolism going on of like your presentation?
Yeah, so the character that I guess Ghost is Balbereth, which is an old world god from Canaan, which is like basically Palestine, which is crazy. But he was like demonized by the Catholic Church, I think, in like the 1600s. So he was just like their god of fertility, I think. So I wanted to bring in, you know, kind of like some anti-Christian type religious ideas. And then the skull mask, since everything kind of comes from like a slasher, you know, background, it's more like, I always thought it'd be cool if there was a slasher movie where the first victim, their skull ended up being the mask for the rest of the movie. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. And your music is pretty like cinematic as well. Has any filmmakers ever approached you to asking for like maybe soundtrack work?
Yeah, I've been approached a few times. Let's see. There's a movie called Bloodfest. I think there's like two movies where it's like you go to a horror fest and then the horror fest is real and they try to kill you. Well, it's one of those. They asked me I tried to score that and it just didn't really work out. So they just ended up using a couple of my tracks. But there's been a few times. It's just, that's a whole different like set of like learning curves, you know, because it's a different program that you score in to get it to sync up with the pictures and everything. So I've been approached. It's just never really worked out.
Yeah. I can imagine it's just like a whole different creative process too. But that's also got to be exciting to kind of like figure out as you're like watching visuals and being like, okay, how can I set the tone type of thing? And aside from making an album where it's just all sonically like, I want this to happen right now type of decisions.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I definitely have more fun writing songs than I do scoring games or movies or anything like that.
Yeah, I can imagine it's just a little more loose and freeing and everything. And yeah, that's fucking cool. And yeah, even like speaking of games, as I was first listening to Prophecy and I was like halfway through, my mind was just like, I just want to fucking rip video games and crank this music type of thing. And yeah, I noticed I ended up going on your Spotify and looking at the albums in the past, and you actually did the soundtrack for that indie game, that The Texorcist as well. Yeah. And would you say that was like kind of more like the style of I guess scoring for a movie or whatever, or did you just make a bunch of like custom tracks for them and they took it?
Yeah, no, they were easy. They were an anomaly as far as gaming companies go. They just gave me full freedom and they didn't come back with any advice. So yeah, I just got to write whatever I wanted.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. And I can imagine our other like video game developers approaching you.
Yeah, I've got a few, two or three tracks in the new Ghost Runner 2 or whatever it is. I think it's a first person type game. And that was, I wrote those songs specifically for that soundtrack. But they were a lot more hands on than like say The Texorcist, because they wanted specific things.
Yeah, cool. And are you a gamer yourself?
Yeah, off and on, dude. Like my PS5 broke like forever ago, and I just haven't you know, gotten a new one or anything. But my youngest kid loves the Nintendo Switch, so we've been playing like both Zeldas on that. So yeah, off and on, dude. I it's hard to find time nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally feel that. Like I have like such a love for video games, but I feel like just the way my life's been moving and work and like momentum with this interview series is just, again, a time thing. And I can imagine too, with you putting out an album, having the tour, it's just like, maybe you want to play all these games and you're like, oh fuck, there's like not enough time in the day. And if there is like some time, it's like, oh, I should sleep right now type of deal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And just going forward, like are you going to be touring this album? Because I really want to like check this out live as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a European full headline, or not, it's a support run coming up in October, and we're working on a full US run. We're gonna try and squeeze it in before then, and maybe South America. So yeah, there should be plenty of touring coming up.
Cool. And almost like comparing like recording to playing live, what is the feeling you get taking all these tunes maybe you made like by yourself, like alone, and then being able to bring it to like a crowd of thousands of people and just present them? Like I feel like very few people in life have those experience in like I just kind of want to know like maybe what's the energy like that's coming back at you or how does it make you feel?
It's intense, man. It's always like, like 4 or 5 minutes before the show. It's like, I don't know if I want to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, some people get super nervous too. Like my bass player, he gets incredibly nervous, and he's in like five bands. He's played countless shows. So, but it's also kind of what drives you to do it is like, you can never conquer it. You know what I mean? It's not ever comfortable. So it's and that's kind of what just drives me to keep touring, because it's not the easiest thing to do.
And it's cool. Like I hear this from so many different performers, like outside of these interviews, I'm a videographer and I work for like a battle rap league and like different comedians as well too. And they told me like the same thing as you. It's where right before it starts, sometimes they have this feeling like I don't want to do this, I want to run away. And then maybe they'll say their first line and they're just like, oh, it's like a big like breath of fresh air, and it's just like, oh, I remember why I'm doing this, and almost like get into like a flow state where I've been told they black out and almost don't even remember the performance. Does that like ever happen to you at like high energy shows?
Yeah, that's also another like amazing thing about it, is it's the only time that I'm not thinking about anything else. So it is just like pure in the moment, fun, I guess.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, and like I think it's always so cool when somebody can find that in life, whether it's just their art or their job or like a certain hobby. It's I feel like that's what this shit's all about, and also I feel like those vibes are infectious too, putting those out there too. People coming to those shows also probably need a release, and that's their moment to just kind of forget the bullshit and just get lost in these tracks for the hours they're there. And just you see it when people like leave these shows, especially like metal shows. I notice it's all smiles after. It's just like, oh yeah, like I just got all this bullshit from workout from the week, and like it's the best reset. So I always like feel like you guys are just like in a way like these shamans of like this intense type of meditation release, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for lack of a better way of putting it, yeah. I mean, that's what I use it for. You know what I mean? Ultimate release, just to get out of your head for a minute and out of everything that's always going on.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And I guess as like a final question, if there's any like maybe aspiring musicians who have this crazy unique idea and they want to like push it forward to the next level, would you have any like advice for them?
Yeah, just I mean, work on it as much as possible. When everybody else is out on a Saturday night, you should be at home figuring out how to mix. And just put it out everywhere you can, every streaming service. There's so much luck involved, you know what I mean? But you have to make it available, and you have to work on it to hone your craft. So work really hard and put it everywhere you can. Just get as many ears on it as possible.
Well said, James. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today. It's a pleasure to meet you again. Right now, Prophecy's my album of the year, and I'm excited for people to hear this.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks so much.
Hope you guys enjoyed that chat with James of Ghost. Like we mentioned, Prophecy is out now. Definitely check it out. It's such a great vibe. And let us know what you think of the album. Personally, like I mentioned over and over, it's been in my constant rotation. And yeah, kudos to James for all his hard work. And it's cool to catch him around this release. And before we ride off into the sunset, I can't go without thanking all you legends on our Patreon page. First up, the biggest thanks to Mike Carniello of the Testing with Mike YouTube channel. If you're into electronics, technology, how they work, and most importantly, how to fix them, go check out Testing with Mike on YouTube. Also, another huge thanks to Amanda McKnight of Top 10 Nerd. Beyond hosting Top 10 Nerd and talking to millions of subscribers, Amanda has her very own YouTube channel that you should definitely check out. Soak in some good vibes, learn about some comic books, video games, movies, and all things nerdy. Just search for Amanda McKnight on YouTube. Another big thanks to the wonderful Jenny Potter, the legend Devin McBride, back-to-back double impact Allens, our number one gent Alan Kent, and big wig Alan Briggs with the extra generous top-tier Patreon subscription. And another big thanks to our favorite soul singer, Saber. I saw an Insta story. She's got some new music coming out real soon. And last but not least, Francis Coffer, aka my mom. If you want a shout out at the end of every episode and also get these episodes early, raw, and uncut, right when I'm done the Zoom call, I just post them. You can go to patreon.com/thecreativeimbalance. And beyond having my thanks, you can just go to bed at night and sleep soundly, knowing you're a badass motherfucker who supports raw, uncut, independent media. And nobody can take that away from you. You hear me? With that being said, like always, we got a lot of interviews coming around the corner. I feel a little bit behind. I got a bunch recorded that I need to send out, package them together. Last weekend, we were at Comic-Con, keeping extra busy. And the biggest thanks to the Canadian Podcast Awards for having me at their booth and letting me promote the Creative Imbalance podcast. That was so fun. Met a lot of new people. If you're a new one listening to this episode, hello! It was nice to meet you. And we'll catch you again next time. Cheers!